You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Michael Els, host of Thank God It's Free Range, and this episode spotlights the Mesthetics. The Mesthetics are a power trio for the new age formed by Brendan Canty and Joe Lally, both formerly of Fugazi, alongside guitarist Anthony Pirogue in 2016. Their most recent effort enlisted the talents of James Brennan Lewis and was released on Impulse Records earlier this year. The Mesthetics will be performing on Friday, July 12th at 7 p.m. at Big Blue at Night. For the full lineup, a complete list of set times, to purchase tickets, and for more information on the Winnipeg Folk Festival, visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca. All right, well, coming to the Winnipeg Folk Festival to play Anthony Pirogue. He is part of the Mesthetics, and they are going to play at Big Blue at night. Excited to have him on the show. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So when you started the Mesthetics project, did you anticipate playing folk festivals?
No, but I'm going to have to say that it's very exciting that the band is able to kind of weave in and out of so many different types of playing opportunities. You know, at this point we're playing jazz festivals, I mean, rock festivals, rock clubs, jazz clubs, folk festivals. It's really just very exciting to be able to have the opportunity to get the music out to such a diverse, you know, range of people with different interests.
Yeah, I mean, you guys all kind of have diverse skills and interests and backgrounds sonically. So maybe it's not surprising that you're able to blend and play a bunch of different festivals. Like it seems to draw on more than just jazz. Is that, am I right in thinking that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you said it perfectly. Everyone is interested in all kinds of music. And I mean, even in the beginning, you know, we didn't have an exact aim for the music. It was more like, let's see what's possible here with the three of us in the guitar trio context, and then later with James on sax on the new record. So, I mean, it's just been exciting because we're just trying to play and create some ideas that are interesting to us as a band. And to have people, you know, there listening just means a lot.
So let's talk about the origins of the band. So Joe Lally, Brandon Canty, and you form it as a trio. How did you first decide this is something you were going to do together?
Well, I didn't know this, but Brendan was coming out to see me play around the DC area. I was playing quite a bit back then. And, you know, I would be doing solo free improvisational sets. I had a surf band. I did jazzy gigs. Janelle and Anthony, the cello guitar duo, was playing a lot. And Brendan came to see me at a show where I was honoring the great guitarist Danny Gatton from this area. And we just kind of hit it off. And Joe moved back from Italy and was trying to start a trio for a potential tour. So they invited me to come play with them. And it went well. And the tour ultimately didn't end up happening. So after that initial meeting, I waited a couple months and I asked them if I could hire them to be the rhythm section on a record I wanted to make. And then they both just said, well, why don't we just start a band instead? And that's how it happened.
So then how does James Brandon Lewis get roped in on the most recent record? And with his, you know, with the way that the album's credited, like, I guess he's a feature player rather than a member of the band. Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the way we met was, I've known him for 10 years and we've been friends and collaborators for that long. The drummer William Hooker from New York City asked me to come up and take part in this recording session with Luke Stewart, John Arabagon, and James was there. And James is the person that I didn't know at the session. And I saw him watching me while I was soloing and we were tracking the record. And afterwards, we just started talking and went out to get something to eat. And we hit it off and just became friends immediately. And he started asking me to take part in his musical groups. I was on his a couple tracks for his record, No Filter. And then he asked me to take part in the Unruly Notes band with Jamie Branch. And we did a record called The Unruly Manifesto. So he brought me to Europe to do some touring a few times, and we did some US stuff. And in 2019, the Mesthetics were asked to play at New York's Winter Jazz Fest. And I just thought, let's see, music is, I mean, James has been so generous with me, I wonder if he would want to sit in with this band. And he was into the idea, and it worked well. And every time that we played New York after that, I asked him to sit in. And it ultimately led to, you know, us asking him to collaborate on this full record. And the kind of way it's labeled on the record, I guess it's, you know, there are, there's a tradition of, you know, people meeting in the kind of instrumental or jazz world, and we're just playing with that kind of wording.
So the inclusion of horn on this, like, how much does that change the dynamic in terms of the music that you create as a group when you add a new instrument?
Well, I mean, it opens up new possibilities and new textures. I mean, when we're a trio, I'm responsible for the melodic content, or what's interpreted as the melodic content for most of the set. But here I can step back and become a part of the rhythm section with Joe and Brendan, and or we can double melodies or harmonize melodies, and experiment with the timbres of the instruments, or I can mess with the sound of my guitar to complement the sax or whatever. I mean, it's just I mean, also, it oddly can create more space, because when I step out and it becomes sax, bass, and drums, there's just a different kind of air that's available when you're listening. So there's just a lot more to play with. And if you're playing with someone who is as energetic musically as James, I mean, he pushes us as a trio to an even like higher level energetically. So, because I mean, we can be soloing at the same time and having a little conversation on stage.
So it's a conversation that you're used to having, but just with like a new voice participating, which dynamically changes the conversation in some sense.
Absolutely. And I mean, James is just like the perfect person for this collaboration. I mean, he just brings so much when he's playing. I mean, he brings everything he has. So it's very exciting to listen to, but I mean, to be on stage with him is just another level of it, brings another level of excitement.
So, as far as the tunes that made it onto the record, was there any stuff that, didn't make the cut, or like is everything that was recorded what was released? Like, what was the recording process and the creative process that led to it?
Oh yeah, I mean, that was the th those were the group of songs that we wrote for the record specifically, because the Mesthetics generally meet twice a week, and we're just writing, we're just constantly trying ideas out, and things, come and go. If they stick, they'll end up on a record. But for this recording, after we found out James was interested, the three of us wrote and arranged the music for 2 or 3 months. And then James came down for one rehearsal the day before the recording session. So we had an idea of what we wanted to record. I don't think anyone was sure what it was going to feel like as a full record. And we just did this without knowing that it was going to actually become a record or be released. It was like, let's just try this and see how it goes.
Okay.
And as soon as we started tracking, it was like, oh, this is happening very quickly and seemingly very effortlessly. And we were all very happy with the results.
Did you like send him arrangements ahead of time, or like did he come, drop into that rehearsal like without knowing any of the stuff? Like, how does that work?
Well, what happened was the three of us worked stuff up like we do as a band. So we, with that kind of time, we just like learned the songs together and talked them through. But since James wasn't going to be there, once the three of us had the basic arrangements together, I wrote them out on lead sheets or on in notate them for as sheet music and sent them to James. And there were parts that weren't written where it was like, can you develop a melody for this section on this song? Or, here's your solo section. It's open, so you can play for however long you like. So there were like pretty solid arrangements, but they were loose enough that, everyone could have ideas and the band could play with the arrangement.
Is that because there's like a sense of trust as far as like knowing his chops and what he's capable of to like give that latitude?
Oh yeah, I mean, James is one of the greats. I mean, he's a master improviser, and I mean, that was actually, I mean, I had total trust, and it was one of my favorite things was to watch him in the studio where, for instance, on Emergence, it's like, this needs a melody in the beginning, and he said, okay, play it for me. So we played the riff, and I saw him just sitting there thinking, but I knew he was listening and composing internally. And then after hearing it for a couple of minutes, he's just like, okay, yeah, I got it. And he went, got a sax, played the melody, and it was like it had existed the whole time.
So you kind of almost like pulled it out of you. You had it in there in terms of the song, but you hadn't quite put it out.
No, I mean, we just left the space for him to use his voice and create the melody, and he did it, and he just did it so quickly. It was amazing to see. And then, with the solos, my favorite part was the end of Boatly is one of my favorite moments on the record. And the Mesthetics wrote that chord progression, but we only ever played it like for 30 seconds or something, because I told them this is the chord progression, and we'll just let James like blow over it. And trust me, it'll be great. And at rehearsal, we just played it for a second, and everyone's like, "Oh yeah, this will be fine." But when we got into the studio and started playing that part, it just like exploded, and James took it to this level that I couldn't believe. And Brendan was there interacting with him and pushing him to keep going. So it was just kind of like a magic session. It doesn't happen very often where things settle into the places they need to be that easily.
That's cool. Do you afford yourself that space when it comes to performing it out live now? Like, did you tightly script kind of a performance, or are you like a lot looser when it comes to the live stuff?
I mean, it's similar to the record, because I mean, once you create the recording, it becomes a model. But there's a lot of room for soloing. So James and I are, I mean, when we're soloing, we're not trying to recreate what we've done or even what we did the night before. So we're always kind of pushing. And with that, the interaction between the entire band changes, because Brendan is playing off of what we're doing and Joe is always throwing out different ideas. So things change. And I mean, we had a really amazing night in Ghent where it's like we were just had this perfect stage. We could hear everything clearly on stage, and it was a dynamic stage, so we could play softly. And like a night like that was very magical, because it seemed like everything allowed us to push and change things and try new things and kind of execute them in a good way. But yeah, I mean, it's different, but we're playing the same set night to night, and I don't know.
Sure
It's
enough.
fun. We're all just having a really good time.
Well, to give folks a taste of the enjoyment, maybe I can get you to pick a track off the new record that we can play for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking, I'd love to hear that.
I would really like to choose Boatly. That just kind of, to me, has elements of everything that we were trying to accomplish on this record. It starts off, and I mean, it covers the full range of what the band is possible. It starts off like with a quiet, jazzy feeling, and then it ends with this just very high intensity sax solo section. So I'm extremely proud of that track specifically.
Perfect. Well, we'll give that one a listen. And Anthony, thanks very much for taking some time out of your day, and really looking forward to seeing you at Winnipeg Folk Festival.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's nice talking to you.
Thank you. I'm Michael Wells, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting the Mesthetics, who'll be performing on Friday, July 12th at 7 p.m. at Big Blue at Night at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com, and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 11th through 14th at Birdsill Park.